Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's Most Hated Mafia-Themed Geek Podcast, the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. I bet y'all out there are wondering two things. One, why is the Reverend so excited, so energetic? Our Godfather hasn't been this energetic in a while. Another question you might have is, why is this episode titled Wrestling Back to Baltimore Comic Con? First reason is we're going to be talking about an event I was just at. Then we're going to be talking or revisiting, in a way, Baltimore Comic Con and getting kind of doing what we kind of do with Otacon sometimes, or what we did last year with Otacon, is provide kind of a update on Baltimore Comic Con, if there was anything we heard, etc., etc., etc. But the reason why, let's go back to question one. Why is our Godfather so energetic today? That's because I was at a house show, a wrestling house show. And this house show was put on by a local group, in a way, called the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling Group. And someone who's part of this group is a friend of the show, and that is Jesse L. Green. Or I should say Jesse Green, a.k.a. Captain Decapitate. And let me put it like this. There have been many times we here at the show, me and Big Candy, have stated why house shows, why local shows like this are important. Because they bring in something that a lot of folks can't go to themselves for one reason or another, whether it be financial, physical, or what have you. Because an event like, now we're not knocking the WWE or AEW or TNA or what have you, these national brands, if you will, these national higher end brands. Most notably AEW and WWE. The thing about these events is that a lot of these events cost, for a major event, whether it be a WrestleMania or a pay-per-view event, the cheap seats might cost $200-$300, where ringside seats can cost $5,000-$6,000 for an event. For a WWE event like WrestleMania or a Royal Rumble, I think somebody told me that they supposedly got tickets for a pay-per-view event. I don't know what it was. I think it might have been Survivor Series or something like that, and it cost like $2,000, $3,000. But the level of this person's integrity was not that high, so I wouldn't put past WWE of charging several thousand dollars for ringside seats, but a company such as Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling, a house show like this, ringside seats cost $13. But now I think someone told me that in years past, they went to a WWE house show, and the tickets were like $40, $50 a piece, and those were for kind of bleacher seats, or they weren't ringside at all, but they were way back from the ring. Again, to get into Eastern Panhandle's, the EPPW event, the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event, to be at ringside cost $13. To be in the kind of the bleacher seats cost $10. $10 for this is a local event. Again, it was in essence walking distance for me, and it was $13 at most. An event like this, to get in ringside seats, cost, let's round it up for the sake of math and everything else, $15 for ringside seats. You're getting entertained. Granted, I'm not knocking Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling at all. You're getting entertained. Granted, you're not getting the same quality of like you're getting in WWE or AEW or that level, but you're getting entertained. Literally, getting entertained. As I told Big Candy, because he was there with Mrs. and his family, they're literally every wrestling trope ever, and it was awesome. Literally, I wore out the battery of my one phone, and I pretty much used out the memory of my other device, you know. So it was like, I can't film anymore. I can't take any more photos because I ran out the battery of one device and ran out the memory of the other device. But was I entertained? Yes. Did this event have everything that you would find at a high-level event? Yes, there were title matches. There were, did the referee get distracted? Yes. Was there outside interference? Yes. Were there chairs used? Yes. one of the guys that, bless their hearts, I mean, they entertained the living hell out of the audience, and literally, he reminded me of Buff Bagwell. I'm probably getting that's I'm aging myself here. That's what he reminded me of. And the guy he wrestled against reminded me of Scott Rollins or Steve Rollins, whatever the heck his name is. You know, he reminded me of that. You know, just the style, how he carried himself. And I told the guy this, and he's like, I take that as a compliment, and I meant it as that. It's like, it brings the people in, and it's something that the audience relates to. The wrestler is Seth Rollins. I do apologize. I know I made a lot of you wrestling fans out there probably cringe a little bit, but a lot of you out there that have watched wrestling on TV, pro wrestling on TV, you see everything connect in everything. There is a certain magic to this, to it. Yes, you see, within a house show like this, yeah, you might notice the cues, the everything about the match, but you're entertained, you're still pulled in with the magic. Everything, there were literally people were brought into it. They had the good time. This is what they're doing with EPPW. That is what they're doing. They're entertaining the crowd. What Jesse as Captain Decapitate does, he brings in the crowd. He gets them agitated. They're rooting him as a heel. They're rooting for him as a heel. They want him to be that heel in a way. And it is awesome. It is great. He does a wonderful job. The talent in this group is wonderful. They did a wonderful job tonight doing everything. Is it the best? It's like getting, you know, Star Brand Cola. Is it Pepsi or Coca-Cola? No, but you're still enjoying the cola taste of that brand. I hate to use that analogy, but that's the closest analogy I can bring myself to compare this with. You're getting entertained with it. And let me just say this. Have I, for the sake of context and everything else, have I been to a house show like this before? Yes, roughly between 9 years ago, 10 years ago, when I first moved here, there was a local show similar to EPPW, because I say that, I'll get into it in a little bit. During that time, meaning that their local wrestling group, they had a show at the Apollo Theater. The ring was on the Apollo Theater stage, and maybe about a dozen people showed up, not even. I want to say closer to a half dozen people showed up, and that's including myself. And that's excluding the wrestlers in this. EPPW, aka I should say the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling Group, there was maybe about more than three dozen. If there was 50 to, I want to say between 50 and 100 people at this event, which is very well done for this event. And I don't think that was family or friends of our family of any of the wrestlers or girlfriends or anything like that, or boyfriends, whatever. You had quite a number of people at this event that paid money, paid the $10, paid the $13 to get into this, and they literally enjoyed themselves. There were crowd interactions. Hopefully by the time you all listen to this, my equipment has been charged, and I have the video put together of tonight's event posted up on our YouTube channel and or our Facebook page. That way you can easily go see what happened tonight and see how the crowd reaction and what, you know, a kind of combination of, you know, Jesse's performance as Captain Decapitate, and everything else. And trust me when I say that ring does, when you hear wrestlers, the big name wrestlers, again, I'm not putting down folks like Jesse and the other talent that's a part of this group at all, but when you hear someone like Ric Flair or John Cena or Rey Mysterio say that ring has a type of energy part of it, and the energy just flows to it from the audience. Literally, it's there. You can get a sense of it that you want to be in the center and entertain. And literally, everybody, the kids had a great time. The parents had a great time. The people that were there just to, you know, be entertained had a great time. Everything you could think, like I said, this was a great, everybody did a great job in this. I want to see that. I'll be definitely sending a link or messaging the folks at Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling that this review is up there. And did I enjoy myself? Yes. I got loads of content. Again, I have to have my phones charged so I could get the content off of them to share with all of you. So I hope at some point while this episode is up, the content is posted up on our social media for all of you to see, at least on Facebook, because I had a blast. These folks who entertained the crowd did a wonderful job. They were so polite to see something like this out there, to see a little bit, in a way, the curtain pulled back, in a way, meaning seeing how the wrestlers themselves are kind of humanized, in a way, seeing them that while on that ring, they're larger than life, they're bigger. You see that with John Cena, and these folks come close to that. Yeah, are they professional wrestlers? In a way, yes, but are they as big as a John Cena or a Beth Phoenix or a Rey Mysterio? No, but in a way, they are still larger than life, and you see them become human and enjoy what they do, have fun. Yes, you see it played up and everything else. Some of the magic is taken away from like a WWE event, but you still see the magic. You still hear the loudness of the ring, in a good way, the bodies hitting the ring, the entertainment, the sport. It's wonderful to be a part of that and just cheer what the baby face and boo the heel. And for those of you, again, who don't really understand the aspect of wrestling, or at least professional wrestling, the heel is the bad guy, the pretty much the person that you want to boo and just lose all the time. And the babyface is usually the good guy, the person you want to hear, root for and everything else. Sometimes, you know, a lot of folks like to root for the heel. Other people like to root for the baby face. And a lot of folks like to just boo the heel. And with this, I mean, it was great. We had, there were tag team matches. There were regular title matches. There were, there was, in essence, a Money in the Bank type match. A chair was used, in a way. I mean, every wrestling trope pretty much you could think of what happened during this event. And again, it was awesome to see. You know, it's like, oh, no, they didn't really distract the ref. Oh, that's awesome. You get to see it firsthand. And you want to root for it when it happens again. You want to see it happen again. And that's what does happen. You want to see the quote-unquote manager pull, you know, the person pinning his, you know, or her client, if you will, you know, to save them, you know, pulling off the person getting pinned, you know, you want to see that, and it happens, you see it. Is it really the best? But no, you get to see it, though, and that's the magic, that's the wonderful part of it, and it's a price that everybody can afford. Between that $10 to $15 range. They were pre-selling tickets for their fan night event that's happening in December for $5. $5 pre-sales. And there's good chance there's folks that are going to be there selling, you know, watching this. And you know what? Bless their heart. You know, they're getting entertained. They get a night out cheap. And it's cheaper than a movie ticket. And they're getting entertained. What's the harm in that? What's everything else? And yes, it's great. You see the magic. You get to be a part of that magic. And there's nothing wrong with that. Did I enjoy myself? Yes, I did. I loved every minute of it. And there were times I was like, son of a bitch, my equipment is supposed to be working. It's not working right now. Because the battery's dead. The other piece of equipment doesn't want to work, and the memory's almost full. I hope to God it saved everything tonight, so I'm able to bring it to you in some fashion on our social media. I hope to God, because I do want to work on this and share it with all of you so you can see the magic. You know what? I actually had fun recording a video. Granted, I didn't really have my equipment with me. I did, but I wasn't sure of the rules of Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event, because sometimes they don't really, they might allow photos and maybe some video. When I told one of the folks that ran it, spoke to him, he didn't mind. He was kind of happy. Again, it's promo for him. I'll be happy to show it, tag him. I'll probably be sending him this in regards to my thoughts on, you know, this type of event, and I'll at this magnitude, and it's wonderful to see that, and seeing the professional wrestlers being character, as I was feeling, standing next to that ring, feeling the padding, feeling the tension on the ropes. I mean, it was wonderful. It was fun to have, again, one of the wrestlers be in character and just mess around. That was, in essence, his job. That's what he's there, and I'm making it sound like it's a bad thing. No, that's what his job is, to be in that character at that moment, and he did his job perfectly, and I enjoyed it. Would I say, is something like this worth $10 to $15? Yes, it is. Dang straight. Buy their merch too while you're there. I didn't get a chance to buy some merch, because I have enough beanies and all that in the house for the winter. But I would have loved to buy a beanie. I would have loved to buy like a little, someone had a Eastern, I think it might have been an Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling kind of a megaphone type of thing. It wasn't like that, but it was like one of those cones that it's made to amplify your, plastic cones that made to amplify your voice. Yeah, I would have loved one of those, but they weren't selling one of those. I would have brought one of those to an event that we were set up at, so I can say, hey, come to our booth and stuff like that, and still kind of promote them as well. I want to say this. There was one guy there. He was a manager for one of the tag team folk, and he reminded me of, again, this is old school WWE. He reminded me of the wrestler known as IRS. He had that feel to him, and that characteristic about him. I mean that in a, I mean a good way. Jesse as Captain Decapitate was awesome. The crowd kind of shouting Captain Crunch and him getting aggravated about it and mad about it. And being his character. I mean, it was awesome. Everybody doing their thing, getting the wrestlers getting the crowd riled up and just seeing the crowd just react to these wrestlers. It was awesome. You had people with signs. You had people, you know, hook the leg, come on, ref, did you, they were literally enjoying themselves and kind of interacting with the wrestlers and everything else. So, it was wonderful. It was great to see. Did they put on a great show? Yes, they did. Again, if you have a chance to see Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling, I recommend go do it. It might not be the thing for you, but again, me and Big Candy have stated many times, I think in many episodes, we might have said it in our ramp-up episode with Baltimore. Please look it up. If you haven't heard it yet, and we stated that the smaller shows like a smaller convention and smaller wrestling, like the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling, is great. You're not getting the best. You're not getting the top tier the AEW and the WWE, but you're getting entertained. You're witnessing the magic. You're a part of the crowd. I mean, it's wonderful. That's what they're there for. They're there so you could still have that experience without, draining your wallet. And you could have a good time. There are people selling merch there. Either wrestler merch. I think there's like a couple of wrestlers selling their own photos and stuff. And there was a couple of local agencies, I think one of the Mountaineer a brand, beard care products was there, selling their stuff and promoting their wares. You had people, in essence, selling merch. Am I mad about that? No, I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see stuff like that. And everything, meeting the wrestlers, seeing Jesse again, wonderful, wonderful thing. Meeting him, he's a great guy. Again, please, they're having an event again in December. I'll probably link them in our show notes in regards to their Facebook page. I don't know if they have an actual website, so I'm not going to really mention it here, but I was very pleased with their everything. I want to give them at least an 8.5 out of 10. That's strong. A strong, hard 8.5. If I want to do the soft rating with that, I want to say a 9. A strong 9. Because they're not really... folks, guys at the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling, I don't mean this in a bad way, in any way, shape, or form. They're not a WWE or an AEW, but they are the equivalent, a local equivalent. You should support them. 8.5. They deserve at least an 8.5, a hard 8.5, for their hard work, their dedication, entertaining the community, and bringing something to the community that everybody could enjoy. The downside is you'll be noticing some of the cues and some of the, that it's not the higher quality or the quality you'd expect from like a WWE or the AEW, but that's the negative. That's the only negative that I could see, but they're entertaining. They're sharing with you the magic of pro wrestling and entertaining you. Please go see them. Check their Facebook page. They are, just look up Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling on Facebook and their page will come up. They serve, I think, 3 counties, including Berkeley County. So, check them out, please. Support them. If you do attend an event, buy some merch, buy a calendar, buy a beanie, buy a beer koozie or something like that, or a soft drink koozie, call it what you want. So they deserve it. They do put their heart in it. They do put the hard work. They do enjoy the fan interaction. Trust me, they literally deserve going on and on about this. I can't talk positively about them. I'm excited. You could tell by my energy from, you know, coming from this event. Again, folks, they used every wrestling trope ever that you could possibly think of, and it was awesome. I think the only trope that they didn't use is somebody, I think somebody did come out from the back and interrupt in the match, so they kind of used every trope ever that at least I could think of, and it was awesome. And I'm like, no, they didn't. Yes, they did. Oh my God, that was awesome. Matt, like I said, I enjoyed it. Go see him. Let's see. Let's move on. Enough from the rambling about Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling. Again, they did a good job. Let's move on to Baltimore Comic Con. The reason why we're covering Baltimore Comic Con again, folks, is simply this: is I wanted to kind of recap. I won't say recap them, but I wanted to provide all of you some context in regards to this. That being, last year when we did our Articon review, we were able to do a follow-up because we got a whole mess of information later on in regards to what happened with exclusives and people frustrated with those exclusives, and we got numbers in from the folks at Baltimore. Not Baltimore, Otacon, and so therefore we felt the need to do an update episode titled The Good, The Bad, and The Otacon. And I do recommend folks out there who want to listen to it, go to our main page, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and look it up. It should be like the August-September month, and or if you're listening to us on iTunes and you haven't picked up that episode yet, just go into iTunes or Apple Podcasts, go in the back catalog and see it. Some of the folks that listen to us on Stitcher or Spotify visit us again on our main page, which is The Long Coat Mafia thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com, and you'll find those episodes there for you to, or that episode there, and feel free to listen to that one. But that's the context. I want to kind of give a little bit of a context episode in regards to Baltimore, a follow-up in a way. And for those of you who've been listening for quite a while or wondering why I didn't do a follow-up episode in regards to Otacon, is that I haven't heard anything in regards to exact. I've heard rough estimates in regards to final numbers, but I haven't heard anything exact. I was supposed to, I think, get sent the final numbers, and they was like, well, yeah, we're going to send you final numbers when we get the exact count. I didn't hear crap. Literally, I did not hear crap from Otacon back from that. I didn't hear anything from folks in regards to bad, the good, or anything like that. But when it comes to Baltimore, this year's Baltimore, one of the things I wanted to do is kind of give you the positive. I didn't hear anything negative or anything like that. That's because a lot of the vendors that were there, the individuals like, I won't say like Billy Tucci or anything like that, the comic book, independent comic book publishers had their own exclusives, and they had pretty much, they had enough to go around, and I've had, in the forums that I'm a part of in regards to Baltimore Comic Con, I haven't heard anything negative, so I take it that it could also mean that there was a lot of positive, but all I saw was a lot of positive, and the fact that what we saw, or at least I saw on my end, through one of the main groups, Baltimore Comic Con groups, is that there was a lot of positive going on. In regards to, there was positive experiences, who they met, who they saw, a lot of the cosplayers they saw, the wonderful jobs the cosplayers that were there, that they did, I should say. Let me rephrase that, because again, rented lips, the cosplayers did a wonderful job, and you know, we as a show, when we posted our photo album to that Facebook group, we even got, hey, that's me. So there was a lot of good that happened, you know, positivity. Now, because we're not press and we're not sure how Baltimore Comic Con deals with press in regards to aftermath, the way Otakon does, which is our closest knowledge base or our closest bar, so to speak, if you want to use that terminology. The way Otakon does things after shows, that we're sent a kind of a questionnaire. How do we do? Good, the bad, the ugly. Let us know. And I think they also send out a general email to the folks who get tickets, because according to Otakon, the person who gets a ticket to their show is not a ticket holder. They're a member. Yes, I'm using air quotes for a audio podcast. But Baltimore, you're a ticket holder. You're going to an event. You're going to their show. So I don't know how they deal with press on that end. If they choose to give us or issue us a press pass next year, which, fingers crossed, I hope they do. Baltimore, if you're listening, I should say Baltimore Comic Con, the folks behind Baltimore Comic Con, we would love to have a press pass next year. Please, we beg you, politely. We did have a wonderful job, and we for the most part, behaved ourselves. We hope we did, in your eyes. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know how they treat the press in regards to, is there a questionnaire, is there a form to, or how they deal with the press in the aftermath. We're not showing shade or anything salty against Baltimore. We enjoyed Baltimore this year. Just that we're just saying, giving you all context that, because we were not officially given press passes, we do not know how their end game works, meaning we don't know if exact numbers are given to press. We don't know if there is a questionnaire in regards to press, you know, or how do we do, what do you think, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So without that knowledge, we can't give you, as listeners, exact knowledge. But what can we give you? What can we give you out there in regards to everything? What can we give you? We can give you something a little bit special. And that is some of the stuff that was, or at least a couple of things that was in the videos that we want to present to you as additional content for you to listen to the best way we can. Yeah, I know some of you can complain, oh no, crappy audio. But you could hear it. You could hear what the folks say. The first person I am going to bring up to you is Sammy Castillo. I'm probably mispronouncing her name and everything else, her last name. But she is the wife of Tommy Castiello. Again, I'm butchering the last name, but Tommy is in essence her late husband. Sadly, he passed, but she's still putting out great artwork. She was part of the community. We thought it was a longer conversation that we had with her, and she was one of the many female artists that were around Baltimore Comic Con and everything else. I wanted to present to you pretty much what she was talking about and what she was doing there. I don't mean that in a bad way or anything like that. I will tag her, and when I post up the long form video on our YouTube, I have to kind of present it to her and send her the links and all that so she could share them around. But I want to include this episode with to her, that saying that, hey, We also included what she said in our audio podcast as well. Because she had a lot of great stuff to say and what she does and what she did in the past. Not just her herself, but with her husband. So, enough of my blabber, ranting and raving in regards to this. I am going to present to you her, the conversation we had with her at Baltimore. Again, this is taken from our video clip, or say our video that we kind of did at Baltimore. So, here it is.
Right.
Hey, everybody asks me what my inspiration is. I'm like, electric. My mortgage payment. My car payment.
I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, this your first Baltimore? Or have you been?
No, I've been doing Baltimore over 10 years, and then my late husband was actually one of the first guest artists when he was doing Batman. So we've actually had presence at this show for 20 years. Cool. Like literally as long as he's been around, yeah. Because Tommy was in the industry, started in the industry early 90s. Started with like Blackout Comics, stuff like that. He did Batman, Toe Tags with George Romero, Green Arrow, Spawn, Spider-Man. And then a lot of the comics over the last 10 years I helped work with him on. And I started in video games, so I worked on, you know, the different video games, textures, stuff like that. And then became an illustrator with him. So we worked with Warner Brothers, Disney, Marvel Studios, all sorts of stuff, doing concept work, design work, Ultra Pros. So if you're tabletop gamers, we're actually quite big in that area as well. And we worked with Ultra Pro doing a lot of their stuff. They licensed our Dark Side of Oz, so all their deck protectors, tins, things like that, play mats. We did work with, I keep saying TSR, which tells you how old I am, but Wizards of the Coast, right. With Magic the Gathering, Dungeons and Dragons, manuals, modules. So throw a rock and hit something and we've worked on it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So we're not just known in the comic industry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's great.
Yeah, kind of straddle all sorts of fun stuff, yeah. And then I also do our own stuff. So like our coloring Book of the Dead is ours, and then our Dark Side of Oz, which is our own property as well.
You know what? I find that hilarious. Look at that.
Yeah,
look at that.
Everybody needs a coloring book of the dead. Yeah, it's we actually did this. This was the first book my husband and I worked on together before we were married. And so we actually, it's literally like an adult coloring book before adult coloring books were.
Right. That's awesome.
And we encourage everybody to color in it. So we included our email on the back. So you could email us the pages and we would put up a gallery.
Nice.
full of people's colorings. Yeah, so this is available through my website. It's also available on Amazon as well.
Okay. Again, folks, this is where you could find her.
So you could go to TommyCastillo.net, which was my husband's page, or my page, CastilloStudios.ninja, and it'll bring you everywhere. I also live stream on Twitch. You can look up Castillo Studios as the channel name. Tommy live streamed before he passed for about 2 years, and then... and then I've taken up the live streaming, so there are some.
I think I've heard of your husband.
Yeah.
I'm not any way dissing you at all.
I always jokingly called Tommy that guy, because you know when you go to the movies and you see that character actor that you love that plays the supporting role and you can't remember his name but you know who he is and you love him and he's in everything that you love, he's that guy. That's us in the industry, because Spawn, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Tales from the Crypt, Vampirilla, G.I. Joe, like, we're in over 700 titles of publications. And, you know, I rattle them off, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they're like, oh yeah, I know him, from this, that guy.
Yeah.
So that's us, you know, so I don't take insult that, if you know the heart, I'm happy with it. Because people walk up, and they're like, I know that Batman, and I'm like, thanks, that's us. You know, if you don't know the name, that's okay.
I'm like, I know I've seen this in ads, I've seen it all kinds
exactly,
of stuff.
Exactly. Because we also, because we're so prevalent and easy to work with, yes, we might not work on the actual comic book, but a lot of times we'll work with, like, with Warner Brothers and Marvel Studios. We did pre-production work. So basically what that means is we got approached by the writers and the producers to do artwork for the pitches, not the actual films.
Right.
So we're the art that got the money.
Okay.
So when they go to when they go to act to get actors and other producers, get a distributor on board, we're the people that do the artwork that sets the tone for the entire film. We're the visualization.
That's awesome.
So because we oftentimes in our artwork we tell a story with one image, and so it's easy to go, okay, we want 52 illustrations and we'll pick 10 of them. Well, we get the script or the general synopsis, and then from there we do like one image stories basically, so that they can visualize, I can see this being a movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right.
And so because of our skill level, that's what we often get, which means a lot of my work, while not directly published by DC, is used for, you know, the film industry. Yeah.
That's awesome.
We work with John Schneider on his films.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. A little bit of everything.
So what are you working on right now?
So what I'm working on right now, because I like reusing things and doing found art.
Library cards.
So what I did was I found images of old library cards.
Yeah.
And I printed them on watercolor paper. And then I'm actually drawing in the classic style that of the original Oz books.
Okay.
And I have some Alice in Wonderland. I'm drawing like the Tin Man, Dorothy. It's kind of hard to see because the sketches are really light.
Yeah.
But here's the Scarecrow. You can see him a little bit better on that one.
Right.
I also have, I did the Wizard, Alice in Wonderland. Because we're known for our dark twist on the fairy tales. Oh, there's the Mad Hatter. Let's see. There's Toto.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm inking them and just doing a quick little black and white sketch on a library card for $20.
That's,
you know,
awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Just something different because it's fun to do comic sketches constantly, but that's boring.
So, like I said, folks, when we were doing the tour, most folks like myself many years ago, I got kind of burnt out of collecting comics because of the cost going all up. But now with independent comics doing $5 and all that, where I went at that time was from collecting comics to collecting original artwork prints like this.
Well, these are originals,
like original drawn prints at cons and prints like this and original artwork. So this is a great change up if you're hitting that peripheral, that ceiling with collecting comics. This is, like I said, something like this is the actual great way to go to diversify your collection because you're getting something unique and different. And again, even though you could buy the stuff at these fine locations, you can always come to a convention like this and pick them up firsthand and watch them being drawn.
Yeah, I always draw and paint live. Because most of the artists nowadays are all digital. And I paint faster traditionally than most people can paint digitally because of how I was trained. So, you know, like for instance, that Big Daddy that you see in there, that took me about an hour to do, start to finish. You know, that's it. You know, I can't, nobody can in an hour digitally draw something. I'm one of the few, aside from some of the older guys, you know, which is the influence of, you know, my late husband being 13 years older than me.
Right.
I love doing the traditional work because you get happy accidents, you know.
Right.
And I'm actually, if you swing back by in about a half hour, I'm actually going to be painting a Wolverine booth on an easel so you can see it
for sure. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, thank you. You're welcome.
Nice meeting you guys.
Really nice meeting you.
Yeah, and are you live streaming these?
No. This is going up, and the few happy accidents that we had in reference to, I hit the wrong button, so altogether, it'll be on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel.
Well, make sure you tag me and I'll share it on my social media. You recorded it.
Oh, yeah. I'll tag what I can. So.
Or you can photograph it. I don't business card anymore. So.
Yeah, I feel you.
And that's the thing, like, I don't mind if people don't know the name.
Yeah.
If they know the art, and that's what's important, you know?
For sure. That's amazing.
Thank you.
So, nice meeting with you.
Nice meeting you, too. Stay out of trouble.
We'll try.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Welcome back, folks. I know there was kind of a clip at the end, but that's due to the fact that our recording equipment, or I should say our video recording equipment, when it gets to a certain point, cuts off the video and starts again. In essence, it gives us kind of two videos in a way. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. In this case, it just clipped off, you know, when we were getting her contact information. Her contact information will be down below in our links, because she has like a Facebook page, a website, a Twitch account, and everything else. And I want to provide all those in our notes to all of you down below. And it was just a wonderful conversation with her, and something that we wish to include with you. But if you want to see the whole video that we did, the long form video of Baltimore, of us doing our floor tour, you're more than welcome to do so by going to our YouTube channel. That's where all five videos, that's right, five videos are in regards to Baltimore Comic Con and our floor walkthrough. We had to split them up into five videos, and they're about 30 to 40 minutes a piece. I don't think all of you want to sit through a 5-hour long video in regards to our walkthrough. So I broke it up in five parts. There's like just where a lot of the mainstream artists were, and some of the comic book, independent comic book places were, or the mainstream comic book places, in a way, where like Marvel and Dark Horse would be, and that's where these places were, and some of the major artists were, like Billy Tucci and so forth and so on. They were there. So if you want to see those, go to our YouTube channel. You have to search for us on YouTube, just search for the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Hopefully we will come up. And no, these videos are not on our Facebook page. So you have to go to our YouTube channel if you want to see them. So you could see all these individual independent places and give their spiel and give their sales in regards to a lot of what they were going into. A lot of them were great. Again, great people to like Sammy, who spoke with us about what they were doing. So go check out those videos. And another person we got a chance to speak with in Artist Alley, his name was Corey Smith. He drew these. We mentioned them in our covering Baltimore podcast. Sorry, again, Rented Lips. When we covered Baltimore Comic Con in our that particular episode, the episode title is Playing in Reverse, to hear our review of Baltimore Comic Con. Again, if you haven't heard that episode, just go into your how you get our episodes and download that episode and give it a listen. And I'll say this. Corey drew these, hand drew these 25-by-30-inch pieces, and initially we thought that each one was hand drawn, but he hand draws one, then makes photocopies, and then he colorizes them to order. Meaning, if you wanted Batman with blue eyes, he'd give Batman blue eyes, or if you wanted Batman with green eyes, he'd do that. So each one tends to be different. You'll hear it in his own words, and how he, let me put it like this, he explained to us how his kind of, I won't say skirts the copyright laws, but how he, when it comes to if like lawyers came down and, you know, tried to do a crackdown on Baltimore Comic Con in regards to copyright, how he skirts that he would be able to still have a booth up. So enough me trying to put words in his mouth. Here is what he had to say about his works, copyright, and the whole ordeal.
Yeah, even though what someone might say this is bootleg, but it's not. Someone had to do this and draw this stuff, man.
Yes, those are the originals. I drew them.
Amazing.
Okay,
what's your name?
Corey Smith.
Corey Smith, nice to meet you.
Good job, man.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
Appreciate it. Yeah, all these. These are the originals of all this stuff. And then all the colors done by hand. So it's all custom art.
Oh, wow.
Yep. No two are alike.
Oh, so see. You do each one by hand.
I color each one by hand. Wow. I do there's the original Freddy. Yeah. So I do the original Freddy drawing, right. Then I make copies, and then I color in the copies. So I do the ice for free to make it pop. Oh. You choose, maybe you want some of the burns,
right.
Maybe you want his glove, maybe you want just his teeth. It's all done by hand, no true light.
Wow. So, see, the thing is, folks, like I said, even though there are some people, again, some people that might classify, that might classify this, I'm going to stress that point, might classify as some of this as quote-unquote bootleg. This dude here drew all this by hand and colored it by hand, well, uniquely.
There are people that do these shows that actually don't do their own stuff.
Right.
They'll take a photo of a character, they'll put a filter on top of it, and then they'll tell you guys that they painted it.
Right.
No, but that's not a fact. But
then when you look here...
Well, that's why I bring these. Yeah. I bring these because people walk by my table and go, wow, these are really nice, nice photos. I'm like, no, jackass, I draw these. Actually, they're one of the few artists that still draws.
Amazing.
Thank you.
We got in a conversation on one of our podcasts about people using characters and things like that. Like, we got a big, big, big thing with a lot of stuff like that. People using characters and stuff like that for the artwork, and how some people consider it bootleg, some people don't. And like, it's, I say, you know, if as long as you're making the changes, it's your art, it's your art.
The thing that's different with my art is, yeah. Again, I do the original drawings, then I make the color, like, color on each one, yeah. So there's no two the same.
Yeah.
Everything, okay. Like maybe you want Vader fighting Obi-Wan, right. Maybe you want to fight Luke.
Right.
It's all done by hand, no two are alike. So it's all custom art.
Incredible.
Like if you go, and I've gone to copyright lawyers.
Yeah.
And I asked them before it even started.
Yeah.
How's this work? Right. How do you make this work?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's because if you draw an original drawing and you custom do every single piece, which I custom draw every single one, no true or likeness.
There it is.
No true or likeness.
That's the answer we were looking for.
So yeah. Yes. Yes. Are these images all copyrighted? Yes, they are.
Right.
If Disney and Warner Brothers wanted to come in and shut everybody down, they could.
Right.
Because it's all these are, they're selling prints.
Right. Yeah.
This is all custom one-of-a-kind art.
Right.
That's the difference between
that's the answer we were looking for.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't figure it out. We didn't know how it works, you know,
right.
Like that. I mean, we've been telling these things for years, but we didn't understand it. And there was a big stink online with another podcaster where he was saying that this was bootleg. I was like, no, you know.
Well, yeah,
yes, we are using copyrighted images. This old room is.
Right.
But back in the day, back in San Diego Comic-Con, back in the day, years and years and years ago, the powers that be didn't mind you doing Batman sketches and Superman sketches because it was one-of-a-kind art.
Right.
So they didn't get mad about that.
Right.
It's when they started printing these mass-producing, you know, Batman copy after copy after copy. It's no longer original art. It is a copy. And that infringes on the copyright and what they talk about.
Right.
They used to not mind the individual sale of art, one-of-a-kinds.
Right.
It's when there's millions of these going out.
Right.
That's what pissed them off. Catwoman, yeah. So that's, yeah, over 66, yeah.
Look at the 66 work, dude. That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, my original.
And the thing is,
the originals were all signed by the cast.
Okay, that was Corey Smith. Again, these clips were taken from our long form videos that we've had on, or I say have, on our YouTube channel, so go check them out. We don't really have any additional links for Corey's to share in our show notes, so there's that. Again, as soon as a lot of my phones are charged and I'm able to sort through the footage and the photos and everything else, I will put photos from this tonight's stuff online and kind of see which clips are the best to put in the video and our intro from the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event that we were at tonight. But either way, I thank Corey and I thank Sammy in regards to giving us a conversation and to include in our podcast, you know, our audio podcast and our videos. I think I didn't really put her contact information in regards to her video. So once I put everything in, I'll switch over to YouTube and put her contact info in our YouTube video for it. So Sammy, if you're listening, I do apologize. So I'll pick up the slack in regards to her. I just wanted to get the videos up to share with the world. So that being said, I hope you enjoyed this tonight's podcast, or say this week's podcast. Stay tuned. Next week we have a special treat for all of you. We're kind of returning to a different format. Not returning to a different. It's going to be kind of a quasi-panel sort of thing. Kind of like what we've done in the past, but I'll explain it in that particular intro. But I hope you enjoyed tonight's, or say this week's episode. Lot to go through, lot to bring content in all forms for everyone, which is, again, great. If you want to join in the conversation in some way, shape, or form, you're more than welcome to do so by sending us an email. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Or you could send us a message through Facebook. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. You can, again, send us a message, or you can leave us a comment in the pinned post for that particular episode, if whatever it might be. Like this week, there's a pinned post on Facebook telling about this particular episode. Once this week is up, this no longer becomes a pinned post. This episode, the post promoting this episode no longer becomes a pinned episode. But still, you can message us in regards to this episode. So either way, you can leave us a comment about it, or you can message us. Either or, your pick. It's your choice. In regards to joining the conversation that way. And we will read your messages and email on air. Also, you can direct message us on Twitter. Our handle on Twitter is Longcoat Mafia. And you can also direct message us on Instagram, which is also Longcoat Mafia. But please just message us about what you want to talk to us about, or your comments, your questions, what have you. Don't just message us hello, because what's been happening as of late in regards to like Twitter and Instagram is that a lot of these questionable accounts, if you will, have been direct messaging us to see their questionable content that is geared towards more so the adult community. And a lot of also these type of accounts are scam accounts that just say hello. And so please do not do that. Just, you know, you can introduce yourself, tell us what you wish to say, and we will reply, we'll read it on air. We also ask you, I know following us on Twitter or Instagram is might seem like a lot, but following us on Instagram, if that's your thing, then it allows you to see where we've been. Like tonight, I'll be posting up photos from the Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling event that we were at, and plus other places that we tend to go or record at or promote at, so forth and so on, or the memes that we tend to post up every now and again. We also put up also on Twitter. We're sometimes active on that. I have been slacking as of late, and that is not going to get better anytime soon due to, as of this posting, I will be on my busy schedule, but I will try to post as often as I can, when I can, on Twitter and on Instagram, if need be. And, what else? As of, I am forgetting stuff. We do have a TikTok account. I believe our TikTok name is, not TikTok, TikTok. I apologize. Our TikTok account is LCM Podcast. And we have one video up. If you want to follow us on there, I have to do a few more. I have a couple ideas, but I'm not really accustomed to TikTok. But what else? We do have, again, with Facebook and YouTube, our Facebook account is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. While you're there, please hit that like button. And our YouTube account is, we don't have that many subscribers right now to warrant the changing the gibberish that is our classified as our channel to a actual channel name. So you have to search up the Long Coat Mafia podcast. Hopefully we're the channel that comes up. If not, the links will be in the show notes if you visit our main page, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. I should say thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And clicking that link that is there. So to find us, all our social media is there and where to find us. So all you have to do is, if there's a link, just click on it and, well, there you go. The reason why I stress that subscribing to our YouTube channel and following us on Facebook as well, hitting that like button, is because sometimes we have exclusive YouTube videos, like our Baltimore Comic-Con videos. They're really too long for Facebook, but they're the perfect size for YouTube. So that's the only place you get to see those videos. Other times, because YouTube can be a pain in the rear end, we post it up on Facebook, strictly because Facebook doesn't really claim us or give us a whole lot of hassle the way YouTube tends to do. So sometimes we have a exclusive Facebook video, even though some videos, like our King Convention video or our King Con video, are both. But we ask you to subscribe and follow us on both Facebook and YouTube. That way you're able to maximize your content that's there. And we do have a Mixer.com and our Twitch channel. Again, we try to increase our Twitch and our Mixer.com this year. I don't know if we truly succeeded, but we've managed to find ways around certain things this year, which is great. But the way Twitch and Mixer tends to do, they don't really save everything, and they're kind of finicky on our end when it comes to our Xbox One and everything else, how we try to do things through our mobile device. So, but either way, we do have a Mixer.com and a Twitch channel. Our Mixer.com channel is mixer.com/LCMP, and our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/LongCoatMafiaPod. Again, links are in the show description. If you go to thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com and click those links, that's there. If you choose to follow us on our gaming stuff or YouTube or what have you. As per getting our episodes, if you're hearing this episode secondhand, if you have a laptop or desktop type computer, you're able to get us several different ways. One is, again, our website. You heard me mention it several times before. It is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You're able to find all our episodes going back to our very first episode, which sound quality is not all there, but yeah, you could hear us. We could see what we covered, everything else, that we have loads of panel episodes, interviews, and so forth and so on, that you could download and enjoy. And we are happy if you look into our back catalog to see what we've done over the past 4+ years. Plus, not only can you stream these episodes on the website themselves, you could also download them and listen to them in your player of choice. How's that for convenience? And you could put it on any mobile device you might have, whether it's an MP3 player or your phone or what have you. You're able to do that. But you could also get our episodes through Stitcher, Spotify, and plus, depending on which system you have the program on, iTunes or Apple Podcasts, because I think that's what Apple is calling the podcast at end of things on the iOS. We do not have Apple computers in this household that work or work right now. So to test this, or we don't have current Apple computers to test that on. We only have Windows-based computers here at the Safe House. But if you have a mobile device, whatever it might be, either Android or Apple mobile device, you're still able to listen to us on the go. But before I get into that, I know some of you are thinking that or saying to yourself, but I don't have access to the internet. I do have a laptop or a desktop computer, but I do not have access to the internet, even though I'm listening to this on a friend's device. That's easy. You could simply go to your local library and get our episodes that way and take them home and play them on your computer or device of choice. But as for mobile devices, if it is connected to the internet, which is a pet peeve that we'll go into another time. If you have a smartphone device, whether it's an Apple or an Android, you're able to get us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, or Google Podcasts, or whatever Google is calling it, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean app, or where you normally get podcasts through. So, because we know there are some podcast players out there that go out, grab our podcast, and play it on their players. So there's that. The reason why we mention like our website and the Podbean app is because they tend to go all the way back to our first episodes, and I think you're able to, if you went to our website on your mobile device, you're able to get our episodes through the Podbean app and listen to them on your device. And we recommend our website and the Podbean app because not every podcast catching app, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, is not all reliable, and the Podbean app or our website is a great backup if need be. So if you got a bookmark it or download the Podbean app as a safe bet, you're more than welcome to do so. That's pretty much it right now. Thankfully, I did not say that this was going to be a short episode, but still, an hour and 8 minutes or so is a great thing. I'll see you all next week. Be letting you all know, be prepared for about a 2-hour episode, but stay tuned. Some of you might think, who knows what will happen next week, but be in for a treat. I'll see you guys, either way, I'll see you guys and gals next week.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.